All right, thank you for sticking around, and I'd just like to talk about the development of the USDA climate hubs that have been going on for the last year. And basically, we're here to work with the producers and such. And from all the presentations I've listened to today, it's evident that there's been a lot of work in climate change. My background is as a pedologist, a mineralogy geochemist type. For the last year, I've been working as the acting national leader for climate change within NRCS, that every agency within the federal government is mandated to address climate change and the effects on not only our agencies, but the citizens of the United States that are impacted by our work. And so within USDA, we function in that well as well. For what I want to talk about today, basically, the origins, just a little bit on how these came to be, and Natural Resources Conservation Service, and our role within these climate hubs, and what we do as an agency that fits in, and then how we're linking these climate hubs through NRCS and working with the producers or agricultural folks of the United States. And I don't know what's your background and how much you know about this, but part of Obama's 2013 Climate Action Plan, as part of maintaining agricultural stability, he created the 7 new regional climate hubs. There's 7 regional hubs and 3 sub-hubs to create basically a federal network and action center related to agriculture. This is not to take away from all the other established federal hubs, like the Department of Interior, Climate Science Centers, the RISs from NOAA, or the Landscape Conservation Groups through Fish and Wildlife. But our focus then is on production agriculture and the grazing systems, forest lands, and such. So this is just the different regions for the climate hubs. In the boxes are the NRCS contacts or directors within those. Each of the hubs is located either in an ARS or U.S. Forest Service facility, and but we have each of the USDA agencies is supporting these hubs, and we have a NRCS person that is in direct contact with. My role is basically to help orchestrate everybody and connect all our different hub NRCS hub leaders to ensure that we move forward. It was basically, it wasn't one of those that was funded by millions of dollars. It was directed that we should accomplish this, at least within the first year, basically by our resources that we currently hold within each agency. So we're moving forward slowly. It began in about February of this year, so it's less than a year that these hubs have been ongoing. Overall, the big picture of the climate hubs is to increase production resiliency and potential transformations in terms of production agriculture. And then within NRCS, why we play a significant role is because we have, in many counties across the United States, we have offices in farm service centers along with FSA and rural development. And have direct contacts with these farmers and producers through our agricultural assistance programs. And so as we establish these hubs, how do we start talking to the producers and the farmers out there? And it's mainly through the contacts we've already established through the support we lend to them over time. Now, if you're not familiar with NRCS, we have through the Farm Bill programs, a number of conservation programs that lend assistance, either through technical assistance, or it could be funding for conservation actions, certain conservation programs. We provide money for easements, setting aside either land and protecting it as an agricultural base, or these could be protecting wetlands, providing money to the farmers for long-term protections. And then also conservation innovation grants. These are fairly substantial grants in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that are given to universities and other nonprofit groups that are basically developing innovative conservation measures on the landscapes. Some of these have been in the past tied to greenhouse gases, this past year, soil health. Within our agency, basically everything we do is tied and has been tied for 75 years to building soil resilience. That's what conservation does. And long before climate change and variability became basically the focus of much of our efforts within the government as well as agriculture in general, we have produced products and gathered information that is relevant then to this goal. A couple examples here. We do have a snow survey and water supply forecasting program through the water and supply program in Portland that's monitored there. Much of the snow supply is in the western part of the United States, but we have scan sites that are basically weather stations that monitor soil moisture, air temperature, as well as soil temperature in different locations. Within that, they take the site-specific data and can utilize that on regional needs such as drought or irrigation. And as also part of the Climate Action Plan, we are a part of the National Drought Resilient Partnership. Our soil health initiative that's been ongoing for 2 or 3 years basically is directly connecting farmers, trying to educate them on things that have been going on in agriculture for the last 60 or 70 years. Cover crops, reduced tillage, crop rotations, nothing that's particularly new, but you know, I think it's becoming more and more important. And then how do you create an outreach to the farm, to farmers and producers in order to ensure that some of these measures are instilled? And part of that is not only convincing them that it's a good idea for conservation, but in general that maybe it is profitable for them in one way or another. But in the end, all of these increase soil carbon and improve soil quality. And in my frame of reference, basically I kind of feel like you know, this particular program through NRCS is kind of our poster child of climate change. Part of this is a lot of training programs and demonstrations to go out with producers. Some of the most successful things that happen are peer-to-peer training. And that through the climate hubs, we're trying to generate more of these activities. Because oftentimes, these farmers aren't really interested in government agencies coming out and telling them how they should accomplish their mission. But they're more likely to listen to each other. And how do we convince them that, you know, changing to cover crops or no-till is actually going to be more important to them in terms of greater yield or profitability? And that's one of the things that seems to be lacking in our arsenal of conversation is some sort of economic information to document this long-term profitability. And as you know, that sometimes it's not just, you know, if you go to no-till or cover crops, that maybe your yield decreases, but in some cases, you know, the cost per acre of producing these grains is less. And while you may have a lower yield, your net profit actually increases because of that. And by and large, we need to establish some sort of network to communicate with these folks, and this is what's ongoing at this time. Part of our agency, we have an air quality team and also in Portland that looks at greenhouse gas mitigation. One thing that was released this past summer through our USDA Climate Change Program Office was the Greenhouse Gas Quantification Methods Manual. So this is a manual that can be used and documents methods from rangelands, forestry, production, agricultural soils, and basically documents if you have any type of management practice, what are the gains or losses and how do you quantify that? And so that's been a big step forward in terms of addressing greenhouse gas mitigation, especially when we go into carbon markets and start looking at the overall increases of carbon sequestration and maybe some sort of profit margin for the ag producers. One thing that's been developed through USDA or in NRCS for the last 10 years or so is a program called Comet Farm. It operates, and the program is all handled through grants to Colorado State University, but this is a whole farm and ranch accounting system for carbon and greenhouse gas mitigation. So a producer, this is all online, you just go out there and look up Comet Farm, and you can select particular land areas. A farmer could produce, select his fields, and then outline his fertilization practices, cropping practices, tillage, and then it would calculate the amount of greenhouse gases. The ultimate goal of this end is a producer could be looking at altering his management practices and see the impacts on carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas mitigation. So it's a functional tool that's in progress. They're now currently, just this week, looking at some data off of specialty crops in California. So they're looking at expanding that as well into other arenas. One of the things we've done, we have conservation practice standards that are basically all the conservation practices that are applied by NRCS to farms and ranches. These have all been ranked in terms of their ability to mitigate greenhouse gases. And it's not really a quantitative measure at this point. It's basically a qualitative measure. And as it's been pointed out, for future requirements, it's going to have to be increasingly quantitative, as well as we probably ought to try to be more quantitative with mitigation or adaptation benefits as well. So each of these conservation practices is applied, and obviously it can conserve soil, but what are the impacts on greenhouse gases and the benefits of adaptation? So one of the things that we're looking at with ourselves within the agency then, in order working with producers, is to prioritize these effective management and conservation practices, and then through our Farm Bill programs, try to encourage specific opportunities or incentives through financial incentives for conservation programs and easements. And the ones that would assist more with climate benefits, we may be able to fund the producers to a greater degree for those. And increase the incentives that we offer to help mitigate greenhouse gases, increase carbon sequestration. One of the things that we're looking at through the climate hubs is taking the U.S. Forest Service group. They've been doing this adaptive management workshops up in the Northeast on forested regions, and we're looking at that transferability to the ag sector. 2 minutes?
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. And counting. Anyway, we're looking at, and this is a mechanism to work with both the producers or land managers in the ag sector, as well as with our ag field staff. The most important part of this is how do we try to get some of our producers, as well as our own agriculturalists, to better understand the impacts of climate change and climate variability, and to start communicating these issues with them. So looking at climate change as one component of management is what we're attempting to do. So in the end, the goal of these workshops then is to compile all the different tools that are available to producers in sort of an array of strategies and different approaches and the benefits that might result from all of these. And some of these benefits for working on these issues could be both the technical and the financial assistance. It would be production system resilience, conservation, profitability, greenhouse gas mitigation, as well as some water quality measures as well. You know, decrease in sediment load downstream and losses of nitrogen and phosphorus. So in conclusion, that basically wraps up. I just wanted to say that, you know, over the last year or so, the climate hubs have been increasing. We're still trying to get our feet on the ground. They've just created a website for each of the hubs, and our goal is to start making connections with the ag experience stations, the universities, and just helping producers, a large part through our conservation programs. And so NRCS does play a central role in the outreach of these climate hubs, and we're just trying to fill a niche and assist the agriculturalists in the United States. All right, thank you.
Thank you.